So we have a special treat here this week for all of the attorneys in the room. Bill, I'm looking at you. I'm sure there were no other lawyers in the Episcopal Church, surely not. But in case there are, our scripture for this week is particularly well-suited to discussions of law and contract negotiation, breaking contracts, and of justice. It starts in the book of Micah. Micah is one of our minor prophets, not particularly as well-known as some of the other prophets, certainly not as well-known as his contemporary Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel, but in just a few short chapters, Micah has some very important things to share with the people of Israel, the people of Judah. Because you see, Micah's talking to the people of God because they are in breach of contract. And they're not just in breach of contract with anyone. They're in breach of contract with God. So this is serious business. You see, right in the beginning, in the starting of chapter 1, he begins with talking of the people of, going back to Noah, back to the people in the time of Moses, when they entered into a contract with God. And God's side of the bargain was that he will love us and bless us, provide us with abundance and life everlasting. And on the human side of it, our side of the contract was we were asked to obey the law. The law that is summarized in love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And Micah agrees that it started out okay, we did well early on, but it didn't take long. It didn't take long for the people of God to start growing a little complacent. Maybe start loving themselves a little bit more than they loved their neighbor around them. Maybe pushing God away a little bit, pushing God's blessings away. And when they did, disaster befell them every time. Every time. Whether you're citing the slavery in Egypt or to Micah, the imminent exile in the Babylonian exile, and Micah points out that the people of God come turning back to God, asking for forgiveness, and God, even though the people hadn't kept their side of the deal, God chooses to forgive them and restore them to wholeness. And again, blessings flow. And everything is going well. Micah points out in chapter 1, and then in chapter 2, and then in chapter 3, and chapter 4, how again and again the people of God grow a little complacent, begin loving themselves a little bit more than loving their neighbor, and push God's blessing away. And disaster befalls them again. And they turn back to God again. And God forgives them and restores them to wholeness. He tells a story that starts in Genesis, through Exodus, through the whole Torah, through Joshua and the Judges, and 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel and 1 Kings and 2 Kings. Again and again and again, the story of a people who don't keep up their side of the contract and a God who forgives them and restores them back into wholeness and blessing. This continues even beyond the story of Micah into the gospel readings when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, comes and dwells among us to teach us. He comes in the story from the gospel for today, the Sermon on the Mount, teaching us how to live in that wholeness with God, in wholeness with our neighbor, loving them as ourselves. And how do the people of God respond? By crucifying him and killing him. The greatest breach of contract of all. And yet again, God chooses to respond with forgiveness and restoration to wholeness. Now, the biblical scholar Michael Coogan calls this passage we have from Micah today, Micah 6, verses 1 to 8, he calls this God's lawsuit against the people. And in this case that we have before us of God v. the people of God, the prosecuting attorney on record here, of course, is Micah the prophet, and he is giving his oral argument on behalf of God, and he is angry. He's angry because he's saying to the people, how long are you going to live in breach of contract? And before they can even make their defense, he knows what they're going to say, and he shuts it down before they even begin. He says, I know you've been lifting up your offerings, your burnt sacrifices, your offering of cattle, worshiping God, and that's great, but that is not what the deal was. The deal is you would love your neighbor as yourself and love your God. And if there's any question how to go about doing it, Micah lays that out as well, saying you will do it by seeking justice, kindness, humility. That if you are people of love and mercy in this world, you will be keeping up your end of this contract. Now, if we in this room need any help figuring out how to accomplish that justice, that kindness and mercy, that humility, an important clue for us is in how God responds to us in our brokenness. And God responds with forgiveness and restoration to wholeness. And it strikes us at all levels of our world, at the societal level of the world, at our interpersonal level between you and me, and within ourselves as individuals. If we look at society, if we look at our society and we come at brokenness in our society, when crimes are committed against us as a people, if we make our starting point forgiveness and to make our point to be about restoration of wholeness, then we will be people of justice. That's not to say there shouldn't be consequences for wrongdoing in society. Of course there should be. And God pointed out there were certainly consequences for people's actions. But he always paired it with forgiveness and the ultimate goal of being about trying to restore the society to wholeness. If we do that, then we are being people seeking justice in this world. The interpersonal level between you and me, if when I hurt you or you hurt me or our sisters and brothers hurt each other, again, we're called to respond with forgiveness and restoration to wholeness. And I don't know about you, but I assume if you're like me, sometimes it's hard to forgive. Sometimes when somebody hurts me, I don't want to forgive. And in my pain and in my pride and in my fear, sometimes I worry that if I forgive someone who hurt me, that maybe I'm telling them it was okay, or I'm letting them off the hook, or maybe even opening myself up to being hurt again. But again, God doesn't mean that forgiveness is freedom from consequences when there's hurt. He's simply saying that forgiveness is the start of how we restore us to wholeness. And if we make that our work between each other, we will be people seeking kindness and mercy in this world. And finally, I don't know about you again, but sometimes the hardest person to forgive is myself. Sometimes the hardest person to forgive is ourselves. We are broken and prone to fault and failure in this world. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus points out to us, it's not the perfect shall inherit the earth. It's not blessed are those who never make mistakes, right? Jesus calls us to be people of forgiveness, and that includes people who can forgive themselves and seek to restore ourselves to wholeness. And if we can seek that, we will be people of humility, walking humbly with our God. So at all levels in our world, if we are following God's example of responding in all things to forgiveness and striving for restoration to wholeness, as a society, then we'll be people seeking justice. Between us in relationship, we will be people seeking kindness and mercy. And within ourselves, we will be people humbly walking with our God. And as Micah pointed out, if we are doing that work of seeking justice, kindness, humility, we will be loving our neighbor and our God, and we will be keeping our end of the contract. And this is coming, the spoiler alert, of course, is that we know how the verdict will end up in the case of God v. the people of God, because God has already assured us that he is keeping his side of the contract, and he is forgiving us and loving us and restoring us to wholeness, blessedness, and life everlasting. Thanks be to God.